with the attitude that God can do it anyway, you're going to overcome a lot of the fears that you face. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Like I said before, anyone can learn a skill and anyone can improve a skill. And God can take care of the heavy lifting. And, you know, he cares about you. If you're doing what he created you to do, what he created you to become, you can count on the fact that he's already been working to help you, prepare you for this place your whole life. If you look back and think about it, your whole life was building up to where you are right now, and God has been there the whole time, and he has helped you learn lessons, and you'll get better as you grow. And that really is the whole point of growth. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm like a man on a mission. I want to help you get out of your own way. Stop giving yourself excuses for failing. And we all do that. It's something that we fight against sometimes, and there are times we don't even recognize or realize that we're doing it, but they're there. And they're particular ones that we might use often. We can sometimes have our pet excuses, right? This is the one I always fall back to. Whenever I'm having trouble, difficulties, I have a lot of different ones. I think it was Zig Ziglar who coined this, but I know I heard it from him. He called it the loser's limp. And that is when you're racing and you're losing, well, sometimes you'll notice that people like twist their ankle or they sprain their ankle, right? You don't really see them do it. They just fall down all of a sudden and they're grabbing their ankle. And I'm not suggesting that that always is fake, but we've all kind of done similar things, haven't we? We didn't want to lose. We didn't want everyone thinking that we're terrible or we're bad. And so we kind of pull up or we pretend we've hurt ourselves. Surely as kids, you've done that. Or you've at least known somebody who has. That's kind of what we tend to do. We have this pet thing that this pet excuse. It's kind of ready built for us. It's built into who we are. Maybe it's part of our personality. I used to use one that I was a recluse. So since I was a recluse, of course, then I just have to be rude to people because, you know, I'm a recluse. I don't really like to be around people. And since I don't like to be around people, then I shouldn't be expected to be happy when I'm around people. That is an excuse that I would give. And there are a lot of those that we use constantly. And there's sometimes that we invent. But I want to help you with those today. And you know, there's really a kind of a positive and a negative in the way we use excuses. I don't mean that there's ever really a positive way to use an excuse, but the negative side of this is we use excuses to justify bad behavior. And that's bad enough, and that's certainly something we need to cut out. We have all kinds of reasons for it, right? I can't help but do this because of that. I remember talking to someone who had a pornography problem, and we were taught he was divorced, and it wasn't because of pornography, but he was divorced for several years and he picked up the habit. And I confronted him about it one day. I saw it. I asked to use his computer for something, and it was pretty obvious where he had been. And I confronted him about it lovingly. And he said, "Well, I know what you mean, but I haven't been married in several years." And that was his thinking. That was his reason, his rationale for it. I was like, that's no excuse. And he came back later and apologized. And he said, "You know, I didn't react the right way." And that was not a good excuse. But it was something that he told himself. See, this is how he justified his behavior, because he had been accustomed to having a wife. And because of that, now he felt like that he had no choice. This was something he had to do. And certainly that was a lie, but he convinced himself of it. And we have all kinds of excuses that we create for ourselves. And these are rationalizations of reality, right? The rationalizations of things so that we can kind of give ourselves an excuse, a way out to do something that we know we shouldn't do. Remember, rationalization, if you rationalize something, all you're doing is you're giving rational lies. That's all it is. They're just lies that you think about and you make. They sound very rational and very reasonable, but they're just excuses. And we've got to get away from those. Those are so dangerous for us. And they soften your resolve, first of all, because if you give yourself an out it's easy to fall prey to it, because then you kind of justify it in your own mind, and you think, well, it's okay that I do this because of this certain circumstance or this certain situation. It forces me into it. But in reality, there's nothing that forces you to sin. We make the decision to sin, and God has promised us that he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to endure. And he will also provide for us a way of escape so that we can endure it. There's nothing that we are facing as Christians that we can't endure. It's all common temptations that everyone faces to a certain degree, and they're not something that you face that you cannot overcome. You can't find a way of getting out of it. And the fact is if we give in to the temptation, it's because we've chosen to give in to that temptation. And we don't rationally choose, okay, we don't normally think, okay, I'm just going to give in. I'm just going to just forget all of the stuff that I've learned about God. Forget all of the commitments that I've made. I'm just going to turn my back on him. No, that's not usually how it works. It usually works by we look at it and we rationalize just one small step at a time. And before you know it, we're using the same rationalization for extremely bad things we never would have thought we were doing before. So Satan and sin takes you much further than you ever thought you'd go, and it keeps you there a whole lot longer than you ever thought you'd be there. It's really tough to get out of it. And one of the reasons it's so tough to give up sin is because of the excuses that we have, the rationalizations that we create. They soften your resolve, and they help you justify bad things and, you know, sin in your own mind. And all of a sudden now you're not only doing it, but you're even defending it and talking about it, maybe even talking about how you think it's actually a good thing to do. Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's because we've misunderstood the Bible, all kinds of things that we will do to rationalize and justify. Your mind is very creative, and it can find numerous ways of getting around and doing something that you really want to do and making yourself feel okay about it. But that's the negative side. There's also a positive side, so to speak, and the action of excuses is not positive itself, but it relates to positive things. So this is related to things that we ought to do, that we know we should do, but we rationalize reasons why we can't do them. And that's even bigger. It's bad enough for us to rationalize sin. And if you're going to change your life, you've got to change your thinking about sin. But you can't just stop sinning and think that that's good enough to be a Christian. That's the start. That's only half the picture, though. The other half of this picture is we've got to embrace life. We've got to embrace moving into the fruit of the Spirit. We've got to embrace doing the things that God wants us to do with our lives. And we have the broad picture that shows all of us involved in doing things. That is, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're producing as much fruit as possible. We have some generic ideas in the Bible teaching us what we should be doing and the direction we should be going. But there are also some very specific things that you should be doing with your life that is unique to you. Not completely, but it's like a fingerprint. You have ways of serving God and serving other people that no one else can match, no one else can duplicate, because of your unique circumstances, your unique personality, your unique gifts and talents, and all these different things factor in to now you have all these different points that make an impression. And while we may do similar things, you're going to do things differently than I do. Even if it's just a small difference, it's still different. And that makes that your good works, that makes it unique to you. So God expects for you to do certain things with your life. I don't know how it all works. I don't know if he already had it all planned out where we have to do X, Y, and Z, or if we just kind of stumble through life and just pick the best way to go around this. There's a lot of debates on both sides of this, and I think I can see merit on both sides. I know we get to make choices, but I don't know if he has plan A and then he can shift and go to plan B, or if everything that we choose, if we're choosing the best, that's his plan A. But whatever it is, we still have a plan. We still have something that we should be following, and we can look at our own lives and say, at least in this particular situation that I'm in, I should have a clear path to something that pleases God, that glorifies God. It may be more than one path. And in that case, we are trying to our best to figure out what is it that's going to bring the most glory to God? What is it that's going to be the best in my particular situation so that He gets more and more glory and I get more growth out of that? That's where peace, joy, and love come from. The production of the fruit of the Spirit, those are the ultimate production of, you know, the ultimate fulfillment of the fruit of the Spirit is when we finally have that peace, joy, and love that we're looking for and we're building toward. Those things don't just happen by accident. They happen because we're building them. We're building a foundation, and we're using all the tools that God has given to us to build this lifestyle, to build this life that produces even more and more. And we get fruit, we get peace, joy, and love as a result. And of course, we have all the other fruit of the Spirit too, but they all build on one another. And peace actually builds into more joy, and joy actually builds into more love. And those are what we're looking for in life. But we can't have those things if we keep giving the excuses for why we should, why we can't do them, why we can't pursue the life that God wants us to live. I can't take my opportunities and use them the way I should, we think, because blank. And we're full of excuses. I want to remind you, though, in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, that a man who was given five talents, a man was given two talents, and a man was given one talent. This was given to him, to them by their master, and the master went off on a journey, and when he came back, he demanded that they give an account for the things that they did with the talent that he gave them. And the one with five had doubled it to 10, and he was given even more and given praise by his master. And the one with two was given also given praise because he doubled his from 2 to 4. But the one talent man went and hid his in the ground because he was afraid. He was scared of what would happen. He gave all kinds of excuses. He had reasons. They were rationalizations of why he shouldn't be using this talent, but as I've said before, they were rational lies, and he was punished because of that. He was not a faithful servant of his master because he didn't do anything. He didn't try his best. He didn't try at all. He didn't even take it to the bank so he could get interest. He just went and hid it. And when we use excuses, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking the opportunities that God has given to us, placed, given us like on a silver platter, said, here, let's see what you can do with this. And we take it and squander it and throw it away and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And sometimes it's because we don't even recognize that what we have is actually a blessing. We're so caught up in looking at our problems and difficulties and pains and situations that we're in that seem negative. And we're so caught up in the negative part of that, we don't even realize sometimes that those are actually blessings on a silver platter given to us by God, saying, look, I know that you have the ability to do something with this. I want to see what you'll do. And that's exactly what it means to grow. And when you can have that kind of attitude, life becomes a lot more of a challenge in a good way. It becomes more exciting. It becomes more of an adventure. And it encourages us to push, because God is not putting you in a place simply to have you in a place. He has you there for a reason. Whether he put you there or he allowed you to be there, there is no way I'm going to be able to answer that question. But I do know that if you're there in that place, that God can work it out for your benefit. But the question is that has to answer is, are you actually going to participate with God? Or are you going to give all the reasons why you can't? And this is the place that Moses found himself. Exodus chapter 3. In chapter 4. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses sees a bush that's burning, and he walks up to it, and the angel of the Lord there is speaking out of a burning bush. The bush is not burning up, but God speaks to him from the bush and says to him, take your sandals off. This is holy ground. And then he tells Moses how that he's sending Moses to Egypt to talk to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, so they can serve me. And in doing this, he is fulfilling the promises that he made to Moses' ancestor, Abraham, that he would, through his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and he would give the land of Israel to his people and his descendants. And that is being fulfilled. It's about to start being fulfilled with Moses. And Moses gives excuses. So I'm going to break these down. He gives several excuses, five of them, in fact. And I'm going to put it a little more in our vernacular because this is basically what he's saying. In verse 11, he basically, chapter 3 and verse 11, he basically says, what if I'm not enough to do this? What if if I get there and I'm just not enough? I'm not the right person for the job. What if I can't do it? But the real question should have been, who's the one delivering them? It's not really Moses that's doing the work. He's simply there as a mouthpiece for God. He's simply there to tell Pharaoh, this is what God said. And God is the one who's going to do the work, but Moses is participating with that, and so he's going to work through Moses for that. And he expected Moses, he's given Moses an opportunity on a silver platter to become something that God made him to be. He was the perfect man for the position of leadership for Israel. He was perfect for it. He was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. He was raised as one of his children. He had all kinds of training. You know, he had education. In fact, he probably spoke multiple languages. And the intention, obviously, was that God trained him and prepared him for this very, very thing that God was going to have him do. He spent 40 years growing up in Egypt, and he spent another 40 years tending sheep as a shepherd, learning countless lessons from that as well. And now he has an opportunity. God is putting it on a silver platter and handing it to him and saying, what are you going to do with this? And the first thing out of his mouth is, what if I'm not good enough? What if I'm just not enough? And his answer really was, God's answer was, I'll be with you. In other words, you're not the important one here. The important one is God. I will be with you. You don't have to worry about whether you're enough. God can make you enough. If you're living out what God has designed for you to be, if you're embracing that, you're not the one who has to be enough. God already is. And he is the one that's going to do it through you. One of the lessons I learned in studying the Old Testament time after time after time is God is not concerned about your ability. He's concerned about your availability. Just be there. Just show up and let God work through you. But that means you're not just going to show up. I don't mean just show up and, you know, hey, everything's going to work out. But you've got to participate with him. Get rid of the excuse. Get rid of the idea that I'm just not enough. You are enough, or God wouldn't be having you in this situation. The second one is that he came up with, this is at chapter 3 and verse 13, was this: what if I don't know how to answer their questions? Now, that's a legitimate concern, and it's something that, you know, all of us have to deal with in a certain degree. What if there's things that come up, I just don't know how to do it, right? You know, there's countless ways this could play out. Depending on what you're trying to accomplish, some knowledge and skills certainly are important. So I'm not downplaying that, but you need to rely on God instead of relying on yourself. And what I mean by that is you rely on God to fill your needs. If you have a need for learning, he can help you learn it. He might have already been teaching you things that you don't even realize that you've been learning that you don't even know are going to be necessary for what you're about to do. You think that a certain set of skills may be necessary, and they might be, but there may be other things that were a whole lot more necessary, a whole lot more important that you've been getting ever since then. And these skills, you know, anyone can learn a skill. That you can teach a smart monkey a lot of skills. Now, I don't mean to downplay the importance of learning, but any of us can learn a skill, and you can always improve a skill, right? So we don't want to use that as an excuse to not do, to not become what God wants us to do, because obviously if he wants you to do it, he's going to help you figure out how to do it. What Moses was told to do, when he said, I'm afraid that when I get there, they're going to have questions that I don't know how to answer. God told them, tell them of your purpose from me. Tell them what I want you to do. And that has to mean, in part at least, for them to be told, to be reminded that God is the one who's doing it. He's working through Moses, and God can make it right. He can help them, and God can help you too. You know, here is a fact. You are never going to have all the answers. You're never going to have all the skills you need. There's always going to be something more that you need to learn. So if you use the excuse that I don't know enough, or what if I don't know enough, you don't even know if you don't know yet. If you use that excuse, you'll never do anything with your life. You can't do that. That also means that everyone else is the same. There is not a person alive who accomplished anything that knew everything about what they were doing, that didn't have to learn anything. You are no different. Get to work. Serve others the way God has designed you to do it. Be the person that you were born to become. The third question is chapter 4 and verse 1 is, what if they reject me? Now, this is, for me, this is a big one because this, I say this a lot to myself. I don't verbalize it as much. I feel it. But he had to learn the lesson to rely on God to take care of that. And that basically is what God said in chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Rely on me. You're not the one that has to have everything work out. They are not going to reject you. If they're going to reject anything, they're going to reject God. That's what Moses had to realize. And if you are being the person that God wants you to be, they're actually rejecting what God is intending. That's not on you. That's not your fault. And if you're living in purpose, according to what God wants you to be, there's going to be a force there. There's going to be a recognition. There's, hey, this person at this particular time has something unique that's going on. They get it, or they're fulfilling their role. You can just tell when someone is living their purpose. You can just look at them and tell. They fit this like a hand in a glove. This is who they are, and people get behind that kind of thing. If you're out pretending to be something you're not, people are going to see that. But if you are actually who you are, who God made you to be, and you're just living it out the best that you can, you would be a surprise at how many people can get behind that and support it. At the very least, you'd be maybe surprised at how many people would just not say bad things about it, right? Whether they support it or not, that's up to them. But don't worry about rejection. There will be plenty of people who reject you, and there will also be plenty of people who support you. But the question is, do you want rejection from people or from God? Because if you're not living what God wants you to live, is he going to accept you? The fourth one was, what if I don't have the ability? Now that goes on, you know, very similar to what happened before. What if I don't know all the questions? I don't know the answers. But really, we need to recognize that God can do it. Whether you have the ability or not, God can still do it. He can take a flawed individual and do amazing things with that person and through that person. God can do it. So whether you can or not, doesn't matter. That's chapter 4 and verse 10. You know, with the attitude that God can do it anyway, you're going to overcome a lot of the fears that you face. You don't have to worry about them anymore. Like I said before, anyone can learn a skill and anyone can improve a skill. And God can take care of the heavy lifting. And, you know, he cares about you. If you're doing what he created you to do, what he created you to become, you can count on the fact that he's already been working to help you, prepare you for this place your whole life. If you look back and think about it, your whole life was building up to where you are right now, and God has been there the whole time, and he has helped you learn lessons, and you'll get better as you grow. And that really is the whole point of growth. So after, let's say you're growing into a role, and after 30 years, you're probably going to be a little bit different than you first started. But even after 30 years, if you go another 30 years, you'll still be even better than the 30-year mark. So you can't wait until you're there, quote unquote, in order to start, because you're never going to be, quote unquote, there. You're never going to have it all figured out. You're never going to have the abilities all outlined. And that's what growth is all about, especially when we're talking about spiritual growth, because spiritual growth is an eternal concept. These things are infinite in scope. You can't have too much love. You can't have you can't reach a point where you said, okay, I've got all the love that I can have. I got all the patience that I can have. No, there's never going to be a time where you have all the skills worked out. But God can still use you and work through you. And then the last one was actually chapter 4 and verse 13, and he just basically got honest. He says, well, what if I don't want to? And he didn't say that in those words. He said, let someone else go. And that's when God got angry. See, you better reconsider. God has you in your place in life for a reason. How do we think that we're going to escape punishment if we refuse to do what God has made us to do? How do we look at the parable of the talents that I mentioned earlier? How is it that man who had the one talent thought that he could just do nothing with the opportunities that he had to bring glory to his master and benefit his master? He just rejected it. He didn't want anything to do with it. Maybe it's because he didn't like the idea. Maybe he didn't want to do it. Whatever it was, he was given all kinds of excuses, wasn't he? Let's not be that way. We need to make decisions in life based on our priorities. And without priorities, we're going to be wandering around aimlessly through life. But with priorities comes responsibilities. And we've got to look at those responsibilities in the eye. We've got to ask ourselves, am I going to choose to be the person that I know I should be? Or am I going to choose to reject God's will for my life? That's really the question we have to ask. There is no other way of looking at it. You either become what God wants you to become, or you reject what God wants you to become. The question is, what are you going to do? And I've said this a lot in preaching, and I believe it. The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that the day of judgment is going to reveal more than anything what you wanted out of life. What do you want? Do you want to serve God and love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or do you want to give the excuses and lay down and avoid the conflict or avoid the things that you're afraid of? It's a great question. I hope you'll make the right answer. I want to help you. It's my mission in life to help you take one step closer to the life that God wants for you. I am here to help you. The answers are not always obvious, though. In fact, sometimes we're not even sure what the questions are, but we, working together, we can help each other, and I can help you learn more about what God wants from your life. Email me, jason@sparksmore.com. I am a spiritual life coach. That's what I've been doing for 23 years. I've never really put a title on it like that before. I've been preaching the whole time, but this is what I do. I coach people. I help people. I counsel. I help them grow closer to God, and I want to help you if you need the help. I've written a blog post about how to avoid excuses and actually destroy them. And it's a guarantee that if you follow these steps, you will not have any more excuses in your life. You'll completely take them out. If you want that, just let me know. jason@sparksmore.com. I'll be glad to send it to you. And several other things can relate to that as well. I've been there myself, so I know what it takes. And I can help you get where you need to be. There are no obligations to email me. Just let me know how I can help you. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments or thoughts about this lesson or this episode, please get with me. And if you like what you hear, please give me a good rating and share it with your friends so that we can get the word out.